We start a conversation this week entitled Mind Games. I began it this morning, and this is the next installment. I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking to you about how important it is to not only have your spirit saved, but to also have your mind surrendered. And that there is a necessity for our whole spirit, soul, and body to come into alignment with God's destiny. And that part of that process isn't always an easy process. So just to give you the heads up, during the morning service, I mentioned, and you'll see why a little later, that I had accidentally electrocuted myself. Why do people laugh at that? I'd accidentally electrocuted myself doing a DIY project, which I'm normally quite reliable and stable at. But I that a certain word came out. I think it's the last one of that word. And the whole day I've been receiving inbox messages, which word was it, Pastor? I know you want to judge the level of my sin, so I'm not going to tell you. But I do want to talk to you about the importance of orientating your heart and mind in the same direction. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 from the Message says this: "So roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear. Be totally ready to receive the gift that comes when Jesus arrives. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves doing just what you like, feel like doing. You didn't know better then, you do now. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness." It's a powerful scripture. The King James Version says to be sober-minded, that there is a necessity for us not only to be spirit-saved, but also to be sober-minded. I don't know if you've ever observed a drunk person. Not your friend. Don't look at the person sitting next to you going, "Oh, that was you yesterday. Pastor's talking about you right now." Don't do that, don't do that. And don't say to yourself, "Yes, I observed me yesterday." Don't do that either. But I don't know if you've ever observed a drunk person. I mean alcohol drunk, right? There are a couple of variables that start to happen. Some people get funnier and some people get sleepier. It's been a while that I've been part of that world, so I'm not 100% sure on the details. What I am sure is you can't walk a straight line. And it's interesting how judgmental that we can get and critical we can get about those who drank alcohol drunk. But do you know what the Bible is saying? The Bible is saying you can be drunk in your mind and in your spirit with things like unforgiveness, insecurity, inferiority, arrogance, and anger. And the same principle applies. People who are not sober-minded can't walk a straight line. And you can be working all you want, trying to walk a straight line of faith and being frustrated by your faith, thinking you can't do it. But that's not true. Every man and every woman in this building can walk the line that God has called you to walk if you will let him set your mind free from some of the prisons and bondages that hold you down, and that toxic influence into your spirit can be eradicated. You'll walk the line God called you to, and you will do it with joy and thanksgiving. And there's not a man or a woman, a boyfriend or a girlfriend who will persuade you otherwise. You may want to buckle up for this message, because I think I may get into trouble. I'm going to run afterwards. I'm going to run for my life to the prayer room. See, this is crucially important, because I know so many Christians love Jesus, speak in other tongues, but always date the wrong person. Okay. It's going to get real tonight. You know it's the wrong person. You know, your family knows, your dog knows. I said that in the morning service. I said that every time he visits, your dog growls. That's a sign. If the fish in the fish tank move to the opposite side of the room, that's a sign. If plants die, that's a sign. This relationship is not full of life. Someone emailed me and said, "What if I just got a bad dog?" It sounds like you got a bad dog and a bad relationship. Start fresh. Start fresh. And all the pet owners will tell you there are no bad dogs, just bad. Yeah, owners, the front row. Immediately, a chorus. See, there's a necessity to start bringing things into cooperative alignment with God's strategy. I'm going to tell you a story that we've been joking recently. Like, some of the young adults have been trying to keep me contemporary and up to date. Therefore, the shoes. All right. And some of the language, I now use like the flame emoticon from time to time and then refer to things being lit, right? But I want to talk to you about a kind of danger that can happen, that took place in Scripture, that might be a substitute enthusiasm for something that should be a biblical principle. So here's the, and I still like the word lit, okay, and let's just keep using it, but it's not an attack on that, not at all. I just want to point out that, so Saint Augustine, a guy who lived a very long time ago and was quite Greek, as all the good preachers, I'm sorry, that was uncalled for. He said this, Saint Augustine said, just because a thing is said poorly doesn't mean it's false. And just because a thing is said well doesn't mean it's true. You've got to watch the line there, right? So here's what happens. The priests had a certain habit in the Old Testament that when they went to pray before God, that they would take some fire from the altar of sacrifice, some coals, and put it in an incense burner. Then they would take some leaves for incense and place it on the coals and enter the presence of God. That's where we get the example that our prayers are as incense before God. We don't literally do it anymore. We do it spiritually. But on this particular day in Leviticus chapter 10, Aaron's sons, by difficult names, Nadab and Abihu, felt a little lazy. So they skipped getting the coals from the altar of sacrifice and took some coals from their Saturday afternoon braai. And they, some of you are about to clap, I'm not sure why. I should have said Sunday afternoon braai. That would have made sense. They took some coals and put them up, and then they put the incense. Well, let's read it. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and placed incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. My message title tonight is Strange Fire. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. There are some things we pass off as faith that are just strange fire. This is another kind of quiet in a service. You know, you get awkward quiet, and then you get Holy Ghost is doing open heart surgery quiet. We're there right now. And it's really important because I want the liberty and the freedom, if you'll humbly allow me, to get into certain spaces in your head and cut out some stuff that shouldn't be there so the right stuff can grow. Because some people don't want a supernatural God. They want a magician. And so they're calling for strange fire. I can't see how you can pray for prosperity without having sown any seed in the ground. That's just strange fire. You're talking magic. You're not talking faith. I can't understand how that your relationship will prosper and be blessed, but they're not, both people are not standing on the same foundation. That's just magic. It's strange fire. And I don't want for us to substitute the shouting for the strength of Scripture. Keep both. Can we say amen to that? Celebrate with the enthusiasm that will rock the world. But when you stop singing, let the world believe what you're saying because it is sound. It's got to be sound. It's got to be strong. It's got to be truthful. Because if you don't do that, then what you have is a strange faith and it produces strange results. And God had to... I shouldn't tell you. I wasn't going to tell you because it was so extreme. Like, God did respond to that with more fire. The Bible says, and God sent down holy fire, and he burnt up the fake fire and the coals and the altar and those two. Let's just say we don't hear from them again. It was their last day on the job. Like having President Trump as your boss. We think today is your last day. Sorry, I'm joking. Get somebody upset with that. It was the last day. Oh, here's the principle of what I was trying to make. When the real fire comes, all the fake stuff fails. The fake stuff fails. There's a necessity in our hearts for us to make sure that our mind is purged from an abnormality of faith, and that what takes root is biblically accurate stuff. And over the next few weeks in this series, I want for you to have real fire, not fake fire, not strange fire. I want for you to have a faith that is so unshakable and immovable that it doesn't wane and shift around depending on who's in the room or which room you're in. I want you to be able to have the kind of faith that says, it doesn't matter where I am, my God reigns. My heart and my mind are in agreement. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9 says, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial food, which is of no benefit to those who do so. I'm glad it just said ceremonial food and not by eating no food. What it really is simply saying in a poetic way, Hebrews is an important book because it's written to people who like religion. It was written to the Jewish community, Hebrews, to say to them, as much as you have ceremony, it's not a substitute for relationship. So you know what that scripture is basically saying? Get the real faith, not just the ceremonial faith. Don't just do the religious stuff, do the real stuff. Have your heart and your mind united by what Christ has done and is doing in you. Tonight, the greatest miracle that can take place in many people's lives is that which you felt in your heart during singing will move up about 30 centimeters and connect with your brain, and that on Monday, there is a clarity of thought, there is a decisiveness, there is a discernment. You can tell a good thing from a bad thing because the feeling of faith has become a foundation of faith. And there's a power in being able to recognize the difference between those two things. Before I run out of time, I've been doing that far too much lately, and I'm sorry about that. 2 Kings chapter 7 tells the story of four leprous men. It was tough times. There was a war, and during that war, there was also a famine. So the people weren't eating, and they were under risk of death. But there were four lepers that fitted nowhere. They weren't in the city, because they were leprous. And they weren't in the army on the other side because they couldn't fight. I don't know if you've ever felt like you don't fit anywhere. And this is a conversation concerning the mind and the heart coming into alignment. You'll find you can't fit anywhere when those two things are in disagreement. You just can't fit. People come to me often and say, I just can't make genuine friends. Where do I make genuine friends? And I want for you to have genuine friends. I just need to know who we're making friends with. Which version of yourself are you opening up for relationship? It's too much surgery for one night. It's too much. You see, it's very difficult to connect relationally with somebody's spirit who is for God and mind who is somewhere else. Because we'll connect and then withdraw. And connect and withdraw. So they didn't fit anywhere. And there was this conflict taking place. And the king calls a prophet. That's how they used to solve everything in the Old Testament. The king was like, what's going on? Ask the prophet. The prophet didn't really want to talk to the king. He was scared that the king would kill him, thinking it's his fault. So he went and hid in the kitchen. Bad move. Another sermon on another day. Don't be hiding in the kitchen when God's destiny has arrived at the front door. But we don't have time. You guys are so hectic. You draw everything out, and then I must go and refill. And so the king comes in and says, what's going on here? Why must I wait and worship God? He's taking too long to answer me. I'm talking to some of you tonight. You've said that. He's waiting too long to answer me. Where's my answer? This is the confidence I want to place in your heart today. The prophet said to the king, by this time tomorrow, what was too expensive for you to buy today will be easy tomorrow. What you had to pay a year's wage for today, you're going to pick up for a few cents tomorrow. I want you to have the confidence that if God moves, it can happen just like that. And what seemed impossible in one day can the very next day become a miracle in your hands. And to have a confidence, no matter how long a process is, that there comes a divine moment when God turns things around. And have faith in him that he is able to do that. The king said to the prophet, "How is this possible?" And goes back to his palace behind the city walls, back to the four lepers. They have a conversation at the gate. It ends like this. "Now there were four leprous men," 2 Kings 7:3, "at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die?'" The conversation went a bit like this. The four of them looked at each other. This morning I said they started a WhatsApp group. And one of them became like the WhatsApp administrator. And some people were quite convinced. The four of them said to each other, "If we go into the city, they'll kill us. If we go to the army, they'll kill us. If we sit here, we will also die." Here's what I want to tell you. Sitting in an indecisive place is death. Rather choose an option and be wrong than make no choices and die a slow and boring death. Amen. I spoke to a friend the other day, convincing him to become a follower of Jesus, doing my bit. I never want to stop doing that, because if we Christians stop doing that, we get weird. Oh, no, no, I mean that. If you don't start inviting friends to church, then Christianity gets weird. And I'll tell you why. When you invite a friend to church, be honest. Do you not have that feeling in your heart, that hope and that prayer? You've never prayed like that before. May it be a good night. No, 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 come on. You've never prayed for me more than when you've invited. Can I have an amen from you? Can it just be one of those good nights? I flat out had a lady who serves on our team the other day. She just came straight out to me before the service. She grabbed me by the collar and said, "My mother is in church tonight." I said, that's wonderful. She said, no, it's not wonderful. It's not wonderful. It's going to be wonderful at the end. It's a miracle now. It's taken me 40 years to get her here. And for the next 1 hour, over to you. You never prayed more. That's the Sunday you hope. The strange person with the strange fire and the strange actions isn't there. Okay, never mind. That's that Sunday. Because if you deviate from that, then you get, how am I doing on time? I forget the guy's name. Max Lucado wrote a book called Sweet Spot. Read it if you can. And if you're not a reader, get Audible and let your phone read it to you. He tells an amazing story that he and his some friends went fishing with a few friends annually. That particular year, they were in a caravan waiting for the weather to improve before they could go fishing. And a few days went by and the weather was wet and they couldn't leave the caravan. It wasn't long afterwards, after a day or two, these three best friends started getting on each other's nerves. They played all the card games they could play. They'd had all the beverages they could have. And now they were just getting on one another's nerves. It wasn't long that three lifetime friends were fighting. Max Lucado has an amazing way of ending chapters with a poetic single line. He ended that chapter by saying, "Because if we don't fight fish, we fight." And I think that's true. If we don't fish, we fight. And there's a power in recognizing that. The four paralyzed, the four leprous men decide, let's not go into the city. Let's go to the other side, the army. When they arrive there, there's no one there. The tents are empty of people and full of food and gold. They find a servant in a corner somewhere. They say to him, "What happened?" The servant said, "We heard the sound of a mighty army, so we fled." It continues to surprise me what God can do to echo into the world through the voice of just a handful of people with their issues and all. That four leprous men could reverberate with the sound of God into an army and push back the tide. Never underestimate what God can do through you. And don't be judgmental about who God uses. Because some of your answer is coming from an unexpected source. And if you turn your nose at them, you might lose the provision God had intended for you. They WhatsApp each other. How cool is this? They sent photos of the gold and the food. The Bible says they ate, and then they took some gold and they hid it. And then one of them has a revelation and says, it is not a good thing that we are doing. Here we have much, and the city is in ruins. We should go back to the city and tell them that there is provision of food and treasure. Do you know what's beautiful about that? The four men who were considered as rubbish by that same city needed them to get their redemption. And while they were treated badly, they never took it to heart. They still found it in them to go and tell the city of their blessing. And the Bible says they had so much that you couldn't pay for any food. There was too much of it. I want to encourage you today that God can turn a famine into a feast in a moment's notice if you'll put your heart and your mind in the hands of the Redeemer. And what you've thought is taking too long, God can change without notice. Be encouraged that He is a mighty Redeemer. There are three simple principles. I literally have 5 minutes. There are three simple principles I want to share with you concerning getting your mind right, so that you don't develop a strange faith where your heart is on fire and your head is confused. The first thing I want to encourage you on is to never allow fear to paralyze you from taking a step. I get asked this particular question a lot. People ask me, how do I know what God's plan is for my life? May I make a bold confession tonight? I've never had to ask that question. God's plan for my life has always found me. But it has found me in the service of others. I have found that when I am serving others, God serves me my destiny. If you're asking that question, it's possibly because you're waiting for something. Take a step of faith. And by serving, it doesn't have to be complicated. It could be intense, like parking. God bless you. I don't know. Our parking crew tell me every time I ask them to take a few weeks off, they take like one Sunday off and they're back out there. My guess is there's an holy anointing on that somehow, Andrew. There's something holy about that. That's my guess. And we appreciate that. Every time you're serving someone else, and not just serving them with personal gain in mind, serving them selflessly, you will find your destiny in the journey of serving. Your fear is preventing you from stepping out. When you step out, you're going to discover a treasure there you could not have imagined. I don't ask that question because God has blessed us with a plan, and He's not trying to hide it from you. Take a step of faith and receive it. Matthew 25, 15. Matthew 25, 24 to 25 says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you're a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Do you know what the equation was that prevented a talented man from becoming a fruitful man? Fear. A talented man could not become a fruitful man because of fear. Fear is a terrible thing. Fear is presuming the worst possible outcome. But there is no place for fear or disappointment in Christianity. Not even disappointment. You might say, well, that's a brave thing. I've been very disappointed. I've been pained many times about many things. But I can't hold on to disappointment because the Bible says, when God is finished, He makes all things work together for the good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. I'm not going to draw a full stop or a line at the end of a chapter when he hasn't finished yet. I won't hold on to disappointment. I'll hold on to expectation. I'm expecting things to turn around in a new and powerful way. I want to encourage you tonight, move away from a fearful mindset and adopt a faith mindset. No matter what you do and how it goes, don't allow yourself to become consumed by fear. Begin to be consumed by faith. The difference isn't that hard to change. So often we get tricked into thinking that the biblical way of living is harder than the unbiblical way of thinking. It's not true. In fact, faith is easier to live out than fear. There's more joy in that. Enter my story about electrocution. I guess I'm going to end more or less the same place I ended this morning. I was doing some DIY stuff. Don't worry about what. And I now have an electrician. Because electrical work is like a legit career that should be done by a professional. Can I just make that statement? But somewhere in the confusion, I had thought I had pulled the power down. And I hadn't. And let's just say I was awakened to the gift of salvation. And in that instant, somewhere deep inside, after being a pastor for like, I don't know, 20-something years and a Christian for 120 years, I got born again on the 15th or 16th of August, 1986. Yeah, some of you were not born. I know that cough. I know. So I just had my spiritual birthday the other day. Out came a word. Look how judgmental you got. Just like that, I felt judgment in the house. Out came a word that I thought was swept out of my house a long time ago. But I'm glad now it's all gone. It was only one. And all of you are wondering, I wonder which four-letter word Pastor George is confessing to. I'm not going to tell you. Oh, did you think the word was praise the Lord? Can we just keep it real? Is that okay? Just one word. And I said, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I don't know where that came from. Take it away in Jesus' name. Be gone, I bound it. I'm not even disappointed about that. The thing that frustrated me was that word wanted to appear in my mind again after that. And I realized how important it is when you've opened a door to also close it so that the draft of that which shouldn't be there can be kicked out. A whole lot of you have opened doors to stuff you should be closing tonight. And suddenly I realized it's not hard as easy as it was to open the door, so it was to close. You don't electrocute yourself again. You simply go into worship, into word and a moment of prayer and biblical conversation, and the door is closed. Do not let the lie be spread in your life that it is harder. It's not. The Spirit of God enables us to get our minds under submission to the authority of Christ. It's not harder. It just takes a little effort on our part. The second thing I wanted to talk to you about, I really don't have time to do the third, so you'll come back next week, right? You'll come back next week and bring some friends, and I'll be on my best behavior. Next week. I really will. Somebody came after the morning service and said, you're like part preacher, part comedian. So I'm not sure I'm going to sleep well tonight based on that. I'm not sure if I'm failing in my calling. Faith can develop parasites because anything that lives can develop things that drain from it. And I want to spend a little bit of time in our conversation over the next little while talking about the parasites that can suck the life out of your faith. And that you need to eliminate those. I'll give you a scripture and then we'll wrap it up because I'm in the red on the clock. Titus 1:10 from the Message says, everything is clean to the clean-minded. Nothing is clean to the dirty-minded. They leave their toxic fingerprints on every thought and act. I was in conversation with somebody the other day. You'll know exactly what the scripture means by what I'm about to tell you. I was in conversation with somebody the other day. They're actually in ministry. I was a little surprised by the conversation because no matter what I said, they could find like a dirty innuendo Have you ever met people like that? No matter what you say, there's like a sexual twist to it or a dirty something to it. And you weren't meaning that, but they could see that in there. Let me tell you why they can find it in there. Because they brought it. The reason why they can find dirt in everything is because they brought it. Their mind sees things a certain way. And no matter what topic of conversation you have, there's always the dirty side. Hey, you can't have that growing in your life and the Spirit of God growing in your soul. At some point, those two are going to collide and you're going to be in struggle and in conflict and in lack of peace and you're going to struggle to sleep. Why? Because that thing which is a toxic fingerprint all over everything is fighting with the Spirit of God that's saying, I'm not allowing that there. And I want to encourage you tonight, let him have the process. I wanted to reach a particular point in the introduction of this series. I wanted you to be persuaded of this, that in our relationship, mine with Jesus, that Jesus is the clever one in our relationship. If you can establish that Jesus is the clever one in your relationship, you'll agree with his leadership in our lives. Last story. There's great coffee afterwards and literally nothing else happening in PE except our coffee shop and like hanging out here. So don't, it was a mission to park, so just 2 more minutes. Just 2 more minutes. A friend said to me the other day, I've been listening to your message on grace. You make it sound so easy, you know? It almost doesn't seem right that I don't have to do anything and then I'm saved. Perhaps the best way I can describe my relationship with a Heavenly Father is a little like a dance. I don't do that much. I'm not good at it. But if you could imagine your relationship with your Heavenly Father as God initiating an invitation to dance with him, you still have to say yes. And you still have to dance by letting him lead. Because if you don't, your toes will hurt. And some of you are dancing out of sync with the music. So the toes are hurting. Stop blaming your pastor and your small group leader and those people in the church who just don't understand me. And don't blame your saintly mother who's been praying for you since the day you were born. Dance with the music. Would you please stand with me as we pray? I hope that wasn't too aggressive for you. Was that okay? I had watched the Springbok game yesterday, and I think some of the enthusiasm, I think, is... Connections team are leaving now and coffee shop team, but would the rest of you just give us a minute? If you're visiting, pop into entrance 3 and grab some info about us. A coffee if you want to stick around for a chat. Just introduce yourself. I'll try and get there as soon as I can. But my prayer tonight is the following, that God will take our spirit, soul, and body and get it all in the right direction. My prayer is that what you have had lodged in your mind that has been sabotaging God's destiny in your soul will stop. And my prayer will be that we will be sober-minded, that there will be nothing in our mind that will prevent us from being able to walk a straight line, nothing in our mind that will become toxic to us and prevent us from being able to walk the walk that God has called us to. And so, Lord, with that in mind, we pray that by your Spirit, you will work miracles in the mind. We reject mind games that trick us and deceive us into an unspiritual way of thinking. We pray instead that you will grant us the mind of Christ, that we will live by faith and not by sight, and that we will walk with a confidence that as it is in heaven, so it shall be here on earth. We pray, Lord, for those things that have pulled out of our soul and caused for our lives to struggle, that we'll close that door. Those doors we open that let the draft in of things toxic, we close them tonight in the name of Jesus. We are united in heart and in mind, in spirit and in soul, and we are persistent after our relationship and fellowship with you. Teach us to walk by faith, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, would you give God a shout of praise and thanksgiving?
Thank you for listening to another Father's House podcast. For any more information, please visit our website at www.fathershousesa.org or connect with us on any one of our social media platforms.